Well, good morning. Welcome to healing class.
Good morning.
Are we expecting? You know, I love to see when you're expecting something, you know, you expect a supernatural miracle. You know, that's what expecting means. Today, let us pray. Father, we just thank you and just praise you for this opportunity that we can say thank you. Thank you, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you have already provided everything for us. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do exactly what you want to get done today. We just yield to you and give you the praises and the glory. Thank you for the manifestation of everything that's coming to manifest today in our life. Amen. Today, we're going to be dealing with faith versus unbelief. That's our topic. Faith versus unbelief. Scripture we're going to use is going to be Mark 9:24. Get everyone in. So we are where today? Where are we today? We are in what class?
Healing
class. So if we're in healing class, we expect to see what?
Healing.
So if there's anyone that's dealing with any symptoms, you might have been dealt with them. The answer will be today. We will understand what might be the blockage there. That's all it is. There's something that's stopping the manifestation of us not receiving a manifestation of what God have already done for us. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And a lot of time, when we look in the mirror, when we look at it, it's me.
Amen.
It's me.
Yes.
It's nobody else but me. I encourage you, if you're taking medication, whatever that you might be dealing with, whatever symptoms, anxiety, oppression, depression, whatever it is, today is the day that you can get set free from it. And I'm not saying throw away your glasses, throw away your medication, but it's the word of God. It's God's word. Because the more and more we put it in us, the more and more we'll start seeing manifestation of God working in us. Let's look at Mark 9:24. If we can turn there, please. When you get there, please let me know you're there.
I'm there.
Okay. Let us read together. This is God speaking directly to us. And it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Here's a man who believed, but he had unbelief at the same time. Is there any way possible that we can be like that? Okay, because if we go back and look up the other further scriptures, you know, the scripture that was before that, the 22nd or whatever, Jesus was telling him, if you can believe, all things is possible. He did believe. But he had problem with unbelief. And so as I was looking at this and as I keep looking at it and I keep looking at myself, these areas that we could actually operate in. A good example that I want to share with you was John the Baptist. Here was a man who prophesied the coming of the Messiah. Here's a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was even in his mother's womb. This happened. Jesus, when he was born, he was not filled with the Holy Spirit. But John was. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. So he operated in that power. If we start looking and reading, those are things that is we have to go and look them up and minister, you know, and minister to us. But here was a man, when he got put into prison, he sent his disciples to let them know, wait, go and ask Jesus, this man, is he really the Messiah? So that shows right there that he had doubt. And you know, a lot of time I've said it, and I'm sure we all have said this, if I had been with Jesus, if I'd have been there, I would have been doing all of these things. I would be doing this. Man, there's no way I could doubt him. You know, we probably heard someone say that, or we probably said that. Well, we find right here, John knew all those things. He prophesied those things. God even had him to write it in there that I am God beloved. He wrote it it's in the Bible. I'm God beloved. And so when we looked at that, and we looked at how did Jesus respond to him, Jesus did not go over there to hold his hands and pat him on the back and say, John, poor John. Nope, he didn't. Why? Because he understood that the word is more important to understand what was, you know, than anything else. So what did Jesus do? He fulfilled the 35th chapter of Isaiah. He prophesied, was already prophesied what he would do, to heal the sick, raise the dead, do all these things. He told the disciple, go and tell John. Go and tell John that you have witnessed these things that I'm doing. And then after he did that, he pointed John back to the word. It's the word of God that is going to change our life. It's the word of God that is going to get that healing manifest in our life. It's God's word. So if I don't constantly set time aside daily, spending time with him, meditating on his word, healing scripture, I'll never see the manifestation. You know, because a lot of time I hear so many people, they want to hear a great man of God, a woman of God, somebody wrote books and whatever, to come in, and they said, I'm going to receive my healing. Those things will happen. But the greatest thing that God has for each one of us is his word, is his relationship with us. It's spending time in his word. You know, God just didn't give us a word, he didn't just make us so we can just sit and hear from everybody else and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of time, if we have been taught that in the years past, that James Robeson got all the answers. No, I don't. I'm learning just like everybody else. And we learn daily. We continue to learn. No one have all the answers. Each one of us is precious to God. And when we understand how precious we are to God, then we'll start seeing manifestation of healing. Faith versus unbelief. See, we can have this because what unbelief is only means that I am more concerned, I'm more focused on the natural than I am the spiritual. You know, we think more of the natural things that is taking place than we do the supernatural. Okay, let's look at another verse here. Let's look at Matthew's 13. Verse 23. Are we there? Matthew 13:23. Are we there?
Yes.
But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hear the word and understand it, who indeed bear fruit and produced some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So dealing with unbelief and dealing with faith, we found out that this guy did not ask God to increase his faith. He didn't. And I mean, even though we read these things in the Bible where God says, where the disciple was saying, increase our faith, this man said he had faith. He said, help my unbelief. See, it was unbelief. It wasn't the faith. Because when we was born, each one of us did not have to ask God for faith. We received everything right then and there. But the thing about it is, if I don't keep billing and billing on faith, scriptures, healing, and whatever, I'd never see a manifestation of these things. And so, in Matthew 13, it says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understand it. When we understand the word by faith, then we start seeing what? A manifestation of God working in our life. That scripture was given to me, I think it was probably in 2009, because I'd heard a report of people, they was getting up, they was giving testimony about they was giving tithes, and they traveled from here to Kentucky, and that the focus was, by me paying tithes, God protected me. And man, I'm turning colors. I'm looking at the pastors, associated pastors, all the elders. They were saying, because they was talking about a performance, they had to do something in order to receive something. That is not true. We give tithes and what everything else out of love. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with trying to buy something from God. And I made a mention there. It was March the 19th, 2009. No, that is not true. And I mean, people were looking at me like I was crazy. And their fear came up. But I still stuck to it. No, you can't buy anything from God. Healing is already ours. Protection and everything else comes up under what Jesus did. It's not anything that we have done. It's not works. And no one tried to correct or explain these things to the people. Why? Because they did not have an understanding of what God's word, what Jesus had already did for us. They didn't have an understanding of it. And the people who were sitting there, we as the elders and the teachers, no one tried to correct the people. And we still have the same thing today. People's been told and explained, you have to do something in order to receive your healing. No, you don't. The only thing we have to do is believe and receive what God have already done for us. It's there. You know, if I tell you that a chicken dip snuff, look up under his wings and you'll find the box. If we're looking for healing, look in the word, we'll find healing. And that's what Jesus did to John. Jesus directed John back to the word. You know when it says faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. That's what he did. He didn't go and do a pity party with John. He told him, go back to the word. It's the word. It's the word of God that changes us. Amen? So as we close here, we'll look at things that, you know, even myself, as I look at things, something was happening to me, and it happened this week. Well, really, it happened Friday. And you know how you can get in unbelief. Even though we just started our business, and, you know, things were going great. And, you know, I suppose I've been getting a call to deliver on Thursday, but nothing happened. And there was a time, you know, God have already moved. He have already answered the prayer. But you get the thinking, you know, unbelief comes in. Then on Friday, we was looking for the same thing and nothing happened. But I kept reminding myself of what God's word says. I kept going back into the word and thanking him for his word. And sure enough, the dispatcher called me late on that day and she said, look, I don't know what happened. This is something never happened before. But this is just something happened. And you know, so do not be discouraged. Well, praise God. That was God speaking to her. She gave me a word. Do not be discouraged. And I received what was happening. Okay? And so I continued to do what I needed to do. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. It have went forth. It would not return to you void, but it is accomplishing everything in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark in chapter 9 as we continue on in healing class this morning. How many here are excited about healing? The subject. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is healing class, House on Rock Church. And you're welcome. Please keep in mind it's an open class. And by that, for this context, I mean that it's interactive. And so if you have any questions, you can just indicate by lifting your right hand. And then I may also have questions, which I will pose and expect answers. If you've been to this, if you've attended this class for any length of time. And so we're just going to continue on this morning. It's healing specific to healing. And so questions, points, matters, we'll all contemplate healing. Have healing as at the epicenter, the center of it. All right, Mark in chapter 9. I want us to see something real quick. It's about a boy who's healed. And I think, James, thank you for that word of exhortation as it concerns healing. He brought his son to disciples of Jesus. His son was mute. And here's something I want us to see in verse 20. So the disciples could not heal him, and then they were just perplexed, surprised as to why that was the case. Then they brought him to him, that is to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Verse 21. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And then he goes on to give a description so that we can see just how bad that condition was. Yes, Joe.
It's written in red, and it's always bothered me that Jesus asked him when he already knew.
Why do you think that is? Oh, that was the case. Pat.
Yeah. Testimony to other people to see that it's been this long, but that doesn't matter.
Hallelujah. For all those, all and sundry, everyone who's around, because guess what, friends? Jesus always had a following. There are always people trying to get at him, trying to, you know, just to, with matters, conditions, issues, different things. Okay, and you can read the whole event and then see that that was the case. So there are always constantly people around, and Jesus would say, oh, I'm not saying this because of me, but because of who? So that?
His glory.
Yeah, God's glory, you know. And so that's a key point. Thank you for asking, Joe, and we'll see why further as we read the next verse.
I think sometimes we get asked questions that make us think of things, too. Like even God asked Adam, like, where are you at?
Right.
He didn't know where Adam was at. But maybe he's trying to get Adam to start thinking, like, you never hid from me before. Why are you hiding?
Hallelujah.
Maybe Jesus was trying to get this guy to start thinking about something.
Great point. And then it's the next verse throws up something, which we'll see real shortly. Well, awesome question. I love that.
Why ask the question? Because I wanted confirmation as to what I was thinking was correct.
Correct. And that's great. And that's why I said it's an open class and feel free to interrupt. I'm happy with that. Trust me, friends, I can't tell you how many times I come in here with just share this with you, a little pastoral secret, if you will, you know, of an outline, a message that the Lord has placed on my heart. But then guess what? You know what? Don't let me even describe it. Let's just get into it and then see what's going to happen real shortly. Look at the next verse. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said what? From childhood. So just before we read the next verse, is there anyone here by any chance who is battling a condition, a symptom, an issue, something that has been from way back?
Yes.
One, two. I'm actually asking. It's not rhetorical. All right. Hallelujah. But so I want us to get thinking now, just as Joe said. See how far. I don't know how old you are, whether you're in the 60s, 70s, 20s, 40s, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But here's something. Basically, all his life, essentially, is what that response was. Correct? Mm-hmm. All right. Hold that thought for what that matter is. I don't know if you're currently still experiencing it, but the power and the presence of God is in this room. And whether that be a heart issue, and by that I don't mean your physical heart, it includes your physical heart, that be a heart issue, whether that be something physical, an affliction. God is here, and the power of God is present in this room today. And I believe wholeheartedly and strongly that you do not get to leave this room the same way you came in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch out. Look at the next verse. And then he goes on to describe, oh, and often he has thrown him in the fire and into water to destroy him and all of that. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe. If you can believe. It says all things. It didn't say, Jesus didn't say some things. Because, friends, sometimes we think, oh, if it's just a symptom that's trying to attach, or maybe it's something that has a couple of days, well, oh, so easy. Power of God can nick that thing, right? In the, you know, have it vanquished easily. Bang. Oh, it was just a headache. Now we're beginning to see what? Categories. Oh, it was just a migraine. Oh, it was just my little pinky, my little finger. Oh, it only lasted a couple of hours, a couple of days. But what about stuff that's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, 40 years? So in our minds, in our thinking, we begin to categorize and think, okay, can we say this is so easy for the life of God, for the power of God, and this is so hard and so difficult that it's what? Impossible. What are we doing in our hearts, in our minds? With our thinking. It says, if you can what? Believe. It says, all things are possible to him who believes. So right there, instantly, Jesus is telling us that it doesn't matter how long that situation has been. It doesn't matter how long that condition has been. And the rest of the passage, we know. Did that boy get delivered? Was that condition too hard for the power of God, for Jesus? Was it too difficult? What did Jesus do? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. And enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out. And he became as one deaf, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And we can take the rest of it. But what did Jesus do?
He spoke to it.
How did he speak? He spoke with authority, what we've been looking at in healing class, yes. Thank you, Fe. How did he speak with authority? How? How did that translate? How did that come out? Yes?
He spoke to the issue, not to the boy.
He spoke to the issue.
Ah, okay.
Not to the boy.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's good insight. What does that tell us? I'm looking for something. How he spoke in authority. How did that get demonstrated? How did that come out? How did that? What was the display? How did that? Hallelujah. Why command your name, ma'am, please?
Lena.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you, Lena. It's your first time here. I appreciate you. Welcome to House on the Rock. Welcome to Healing Class. Your first time?
Yeah.
Jesus issued a command. Command instruction. Get out. Trouble this boy no more. And instantly, there was a result in that regard. We've been talking about authority at Healing Class for a couple of weeks now. And this passage is just a highlight, an example. We've talked about how authority does not stand alone. Authority comes with power. Because authority is not authority if there's no power backing it. I can't do a quick review. Get onto the website. Listen to the previous messages in that regard. We have those uploaded on a weekly basis, and it's awesome. You can just listen, you can share, and just bless, you know, bless the world at large, bless family and friends with that. So we've been talking about authority, but how does this happen? How do we display this? How do we see this? How can we experience this? An example is what? Issuing a command imperative. So you might know the name of the condition. You might know the name of the situation. You might know the symptoms. You may not know much about it at all. But you can, with your lips, with your mouth, you can issue what?
Command.
You can issue a command. You can speak life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. What does it say? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. No, that's not the one. But that's a good passage as well. Great passage of scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. I want us to be familiar with these as it concerns you.
The word is supreme. Who can say to him, what are you doing?
Okay, I don't know. What version is that?
NIV.
Okay, NIV. Anyone else? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4.
For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing?
That's the same. So who can challenge the word of a king? That's almost the same. Yes? Where the word of a king is, there is power.
Hallelujah.
Where the word of a king is, there is power. And guess what? As concerns the believer, as concerns the child of God, as concerns the sons and the daughters of the Most High, who are you? What have you been made? What is your true identity? Revelations 1 and verse 5, you've been made kings and priests. I've been made one. Revelations 1, 5, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11. It says you are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a what? Holy nation. Peculiar people that should show forth what? The excellencies or the glories or the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's been a transfer. There's been a translation. There's been a conveyance. You've been translated, delivered, set free, removed from the kingdom of darkness, and placed into the kingdom of who? Kingdom of his beloved. Kingdom of God. So your words. Carry weight and go a long way. How do I know? Let's turn a couple of pages, if you will. Let's move chapters. Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Passage we know so well. Well, here's an encouragement for us today as a body. Let's not get too comfortable. Let's not get too comfortable with, in the manner of speaking, hear me clearly now, say, oh, I know the word. I know that passage. Oh, I'm familiar with that. Oh, I've heard it 100 times. I've heard it so many times. I've seen it, and then I've heard it so much. But what's the message? Guess what? Every time you look into the word and peer into the word, guess what happens? Revelation, insight, faith is born, faith is built up, encouragement results, light and illumination, as by the Holy Spirit. And you just, boom, you just get your breakthrough, right? Just by looking. We were talking about meditating last week, meditating on God's word, spending time and just stewing on God's word. Look at what it says, Mark 11, 23, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, his disciples, after the fig tree got withered, "For assuredly I say to you," verse 22. So Jesus answered and said, "Have what? Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," what's that thing that's constituting or that constitutes a mountain in your life presently? Possibly as it concerns healing. This is healing class. "Be removed." Now, he does what? What's Jesus saying? He that does what? Says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but what? Believes.
Oh, Jesus.
What did we see in chapter 9? What did Jesus tell that man? If you can believe. Mm-hmm. So he says to him, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he what? Says." He will have whatever he says. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." How important is this?
Very,
extremely.
Any questions or comments at this juncture?
So if we go back to the unbelief, the disciples and the Father had the same problem. They were looking at the natural, the symptoms, instead of the root. Jesus, knowing his authority, spoke to the root, because he only did as the Father, what the Father told him to do. So he knew he had the authority over what was causing the symptoms. So he went after what causes symptoms, which would be the evil spirit. Which ties into this here, when we hear, he said, "Have faith in God." Whenever you hear from the Father, you speak what he says to you out, and you know it'll be done.
Amen. Hallelujah. So how do you know? Yes. Holly.
Jesus was always praying. He was always getting instruction from the Father.
Yes.
I'm asking a question.
Okay. Oh, it's a question. All right.
But is that true?
For example, all you have to do is go through the book of Luke, for example, all through the Gospels, the Synoptics. He was constantly in prayer mode, and then there were times when he would actually separate himself and go pray all night, and there were times when he encouraged the disciples to be constant in prayer. In Luke chapter 5, before he called his disciples, in Luke in chapter 18, verse 1, he told them a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up, not to relent, not to stop. And he didn't just tell them, oh, pray. He himself had that lifestyle whereby he would go into the mountain and then go pray, or separate himself from the crowd and remain in prayer all night. You can go through, I like Luke particularly because several references in the book of Luke tell you that he had a lifestyle of prayer.
So we're supposed to be like him, and my spirit is not as strong as Jesus. And he was staying up all night, and then crowds would throng him, and like, that's a miracle right there.
So your spirit, I'll put it this way, your spirit
is.
Oh. You know why? Who knows why? Who can answer?
Because we feel we receive the fullness of Jesus. So with the fullness that we receive everything Jesus, that is in Jesus, we receive it as believers.
So we receive.
So our spirit is identical as Jesus.
Okay, so we receive the fullness based just exactly as Jesus had. Okay,
yes.
We'll look at, and so when we ask questions like this, friends, what is the response as head of the healing class, healing school? What is the response that I'm looking for when I ask questions like this? Who knows? Lovely answers and points, but truth, yes, agreed. But how can we know that we're
scripture?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, okay.
Scripture, you know, make the point.
Jesus, it was the word. God, but he keeps connected to the glory of the Father in heaven, so that's what we have to do. But and then it says that as he, we're supposed to do even greater works.
Correct. Correct. And I want to encourage us, you know, to keep attending. Like I said, we've been on authority series, and we'll continue that for the next couple of weeks or so. But here's the thing, if you had a point, I'm going to come to that. I'm going to respond.
I just don't.
It will all...
He was always listening to the Father, so, but he was already the Word of God. He really loved the Father.
We'll come to that. We're going to look at one passage, one scripture, and put it all together. But it's awesome.
Okay.
Yes,
we also have Jesus in our hearts, so we are like Jesus because we have him in us.
So we have Jesus in our hearts,
yeah.
And so we're like him in that way. Joe, you, was that a question? Or
I can't find the scripture,
mm-hmm.
But there's a scripture that says that as Jesus was in this world, or at Jesus in the story.
1 John 4, 17.
Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 4, and I believe verse 17, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So as he is, so are we. But why is that the case? How is that the case? Why and how?
Yeah, we are one with them. We're united.
Hallelujah. Because we're one with them. We're united with them. Yes. Todd?
He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Creator himself lives inside of
us. Where's that in scripture? I'm not trying to put you under the under scrutiny or whatnot, but valid points, awesome points, great responses. That's the truth. But we need to know where this is in chapter 6, verse 17. Hallelujah. We need to know where this in God's word, not so that we can just be scholars in God's word, but so that our hearts can be assured in the truth, rooted and grounded in the truth. So that when situations and circumstances come, when the portrait comes on, oh, okay, but how about this thing you've carried all your life since childhood that has been bugging you? When,
Amen.
When the signs and the symptoms of oppression try to latch onto you, what will be your response? It can't be wishful thinking.
No.
It can't be something that I'm just having in my head. I used to be like that. I fill up with the word, but then wouldn't speak because I'd seen people do confessions all through their lives and still die with the thing and, you know, be religious. But we can't say, oh, because people are religious, so we can't walk with the truth. It doesn't mean that we can't handle the truth. It doesn't mean that we can't carry the truth and uphold the truth in our lives as children of the Most High. And I see Christians being robbed of the fullness that they've received. Is on the inside, but it's not emanating, it's not coming out, it's not manifesting, it's not being released, it's not being seen, it's not being shown.
Yeah.
And yet the word says of his fullness, John 1:16, we have received grace upon grace, including the grace of healing, made sure, because by his stripes we were healed, and so we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Thank you, Todd. 1 Corinthians 6:17. How about John 3, I believe, verse 34? It says, God does not give the Spirit by measure. And guess what? Acts 10:38 says what? Acts and chapter 2. Pardon me that I'm, you know, kind of speedy because we're almost out of time here, about 5 minutes left here. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? And power, and he went about doing good, doing what? Healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for what? God was with him. Part of, for an example, oh, I wish I could get into it, but a simple example in this regard is how that just by mindset, how many know that there are people who by mindset think that sometimes sickness, disease, infirmities, all of this stuff is somehow God testing them, is somehow God trying to make them get better, is sometimes God bringing a trial to you for some sort of teaching, for some sort of instruction. And with that mindset alone, guess what? You're going to remain
Amen.
In that situation. You're going to remain in that circumstance thinking that, oh, there's something I'm supposed to be learning. But Acts 10:38 said, those who were oppressed of who?
The devil.
You know what? Someone says, oh, that was Acts. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Good. So what about Jesus? Does Jesus say the same thing? Yes. Let's look at Luke in chapter, thank you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, chapter 13. Luke in chapter 13. Thank you, sweet Spirit of the living God. Man, I could preach all day, teach all day on this subject. But we don't operate like that at House on the Rock Church. So we're a body. We love, you know, love is prime. And I love you so much. And obviously, I can't keep you here all day. And I won't. Luke in chapter 13, I believe, is verse 16. Luke in chapter 13, if I can get there. Now, it's about the woman who was bent over for how many years? 18 years, and was so discomforted, could not stand straight, and this thing was debilitating. Crunched over, and other versions describe it. Look at different versions to see how chronic this thing was. And Jesus spoke word. And I'm telling you, friends, today, do not despise the power and the authority that you have on the inside of you and which should emanate, which should come out by way of what? Speaking. For so long, the enemy had my mouth sealed. I'm like, in the word. And it's on the inside. It's on the inside. But there is power to speaking. There is power to declaring. There is power to commanding. And so I do that over myself, over my spouse, over my kids on a daily basis. I don't have to wait to see a symptom before I'm going after this thing by way of, how do you call that in military terms? You're attacking first or whatever you want to call it. I don't wait to see. Thank you. It's not, oh, something comes up, then I'm trying to. No. We're at that passage. Look at something that it says. Now, and the Pharisees and all those around were so upset that he healed her on the Sabbath. Oh, my God. Oh, that's a woman. Jesus said to him, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And I'm saying to you today, you're already loosed from that infirmity that has plagued you since childhood for so many years. I'm saying you're loosed already. And today, physically, you pick up on that manifestation. You pick up on that healing bodily. I'm saying you pick up on that healing heart-wise already today by way of manifestation. Oh, Jesus. Do you realize you're loosed? The enemy is trying to hoodwink us over time thinking that, oh, they don't know. And guess what? If you don't know, then you remain in that position of being what? Seemingly bound. Well, the curse was already broken over your life. Galatians in chapter 3, verse 13. That curse is already broken. And I choose my words wisely, as that of the Spirit of God, I said the word seemingly. Because till tomorrow, my people perish for what? You're not in bonds anymore. But the shackles are broken, everything is broken, and we're still there, sitting there, just saying, oh, if only I could be released. It's already off. Can you please stand? Can you walk? Can you get out of that jailhouse? Can you get out of that room that has held you bound, that place that kept you locked in? Because you believe. Jesus, he came upon them. That is, he. Oh, he rebuked them. And I'm not going to read it because of time, but it's beautiful. Read it in private, in your private. And it says, look at the next verse. He says, verse 16, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom what? Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Who had her bound? So a mindset that says, God, and by the way, James in chapter 1, God does not tempt with evil, does not try or test with symptoms, sickness, disease, and all of that stuff. No. Why? Because his thoughts towards us, towards you, are thoughts of what? Good, not of evil. He's a loving Father. How do you see him? What's the picture that you have of the Father? Is he a loving God? Or is he someone that is mad and angry at you and just throws all things at you? And so, you know, no. Acts says, the oppressed of the devil, Jesus said, whom Satan has held bound. So we know the source of that. And Jesus, all through the work of his ministry, went about healing all. And Jesus has given us that remit as well to do likewise. Mark 16, 15 through 17. And we're going to continue along these lines on this authority series. And we're going to see how that it relates to us particularly and then to others. The emphasis will be on doing. Because there are some myths that we're going to have to nix, or how do you call it? Bust some myths. Some beliefs, yeah. Yeah, myth busters. We're going to have to do some of that. Because there are some things that we think that we carry in our minds that hinder us from seeing the manifestation of healing that is ours already. And if you don't know how powerful your thinking is, how your mind is, how your heart is, then you'll find out in the course of the next 2 weeks or more. It's important how you think. That affects how you receive the word. And that affects how faith, as James just shared, how that shows up in your life, or whether unbelief is what constitutes a stronghold in your life. I'd like a prayer team member to just come. I'm going to also remain up front here. If you have a situation or a condition as it relates to health, or it may have to do with the heart, and you want to see change this morning, you want to see an end, like a line drawn in the sand to that circumstance, and say, okay, enough, then I'd love for you to just stand up boldly. I'm not interested. It doesn't matter whether you've been up before, but please come forward at this time. Don't remain in your seat. I mentioned earlier in this meeting, God is here. His presence is here. His power is here. And I'm assured in my heart that you don't get to leave this place the same way you came. Father, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for healing manifestation all over this room. Thank you, Father, for your power that just saturates this atmosphere.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for the miraculous in effect. Thank you, Father, for healing made sure bodily and in the heart. Thank you, Father, for even deliverance.
Yes.
In the mind and hearts. Thank you, Lord. For freedom that it is that we have in you. For healing and health made sure, and the reality of that in our lives as we just continue to give you praise and just live. Even as by your spirit. In victory. Because we're more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We say thank you, Lord, for healing us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.